Hebrew?
What?
Possible.
Well, so we're live now?
Yeah, the music.
Are we alive now?
The Superman theme ended. You're live.
We're live in Christ.
Amen.
And the live stream song played.
Well, let's go ahead and
Greg, it's not the kitty cat.
Turn to Romans 15. First, we'll see what happens here. Now, before we start off, I got just a couple of things to say. I've had a couple of people talk about my hat. So therefore, as we're doing the studies from 14 and 15, not to offend the brethren, I'm taking the hat off. I don't have to take it off.
Huh.
I don't have to take it off.
Offend somebody that hairdo.
Right.
Your hair looks fine.
My hair looks fine. Well, here's the story behind the haircut, or actually the butchery. Now, for the last 40 years, I don't know, I've been going to the Ohio State Barber College. And there I get a good deal. I think it's $3 for someone who doesn't know how to cut. $4.50 for intermediate. All right? And I think $7 for those that are ready to graduate. So I normally go for the intermediate.
$4.
And I've had a few brethren attack me for going that far to go get a haircut. And I'd just like to tell you this. The other people I know, the other Christians, go to the same guy over and over and over. Nothing wrong with that. That's your preference? Fine. I am in the ministry of sharing the gospel of Christ. And so I've estimated over the years, I probably have passed out over 500 gospel tracts to all the barbers. So it's a ministry.
Yeah.
Yes, they will make mistakes, okay? And this was the last time. Normally I've had one or two cut the hair, but this was the first time I had five. First guy started cutting and gave up. Next guy come over, and then a lady came over, and then another guy come over, and trim here, yes.
I think you should also point out that the people at this barber shop are very receptive to the gospel.
Yes, 4 out of 5 of those barbers accepted a track.
And then
first guy didn't, so that's interesting.
Well, and then
he said, "Oh no, I'm fine." No, he's not. If you're not saved, he's not going to be fine.
That's about the same ratio as our dentists that recommend. Here in 4 out of 5 dentists.
So just for you know, now you see me almost bald. If I lose any more hair, I will become Mr. Clean.
No, it'll just grow back quicker.
Yes, it'll grow back. So, and another thing, want to wish you all a happy Easter today. Happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And just like I told my wife, you're nobody till somebody loves you. Do I get an ear clap for that?
Great song, Rick. I'm going to teach that response. You say he is risen, we say he is risen indeed.
I was waiting, but it was dead. Remember I said, is anyone alive? Alive?
Okay,
let's try that again. He is risen indeed.
No. You say he is risen.
You say Christ the Lord is risen.
No, you just say he is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Well, you made that simple.
Well, you guys are alive. That's pretty good. And then one last thing here. It seems like every time I started working on this study,
I'm watching these ears.
I got attacked by our cats. So I think they're devil possessed.
What?
I mean, they slept on the Bible. They slept on my notes. I mean, they did everything they could to distract me. So I hope this comes out pretty good today. Let's go ahead, and we're going to make an attempt to go from verse 15:1 up to 7, because that's where a good break is. But I have too much material on verse 1, but we'll try to squeak by anyway. So let's go verses 15 through 7. I'll do the odd ones. You guys can do the even ones. Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves.
Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification.
For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope.
Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus.
That ye may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer on this. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne, and it is the best place, Lord, for our heart to be is at your feet. And you are a great God and a gracious God, and you're not like a stone statue that can't hear, can't see, can't breathe, can't talk. You are alive. And Lord, this is your word, the authorized King James for the English-speaking people, and it's alive. This is not just a book. These are the words of the living God. And we just pray this morning you'll open up our hearts, Lord. Open up our hearts and teach us out of your word. Teach us out of your spirit, Lord. And I always sense, Lord, that when we learn to love the unlovable, when we learn to love those who have infirmities and those who have weaknesses, that the power of Christ is doubled. And we just pray right now for your understanding and help us all to conform to your word and conform to the image of Christ. And bless our little church here, Lord, and wherever else the word may be taught or preached. We just ask for an increase. And we ask for that. In the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, first thing we want to notice in the first three verses, well, the key words there is please. If you notice in verse 1, and not to please ourselves. And then we take a look at verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor. And then we have the comparison, the model that Christ has for us in verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. Those are the key words for the first three verses. Again, if we take a look at 15:1, it seems to be the cornerstone for going through Romans chapter 15. And first thing that I noticed in here, in the first part of the verse, we then that are strong. We are strong. Now, what in the world does that mean, we are strong? The Word of God defines itself. Let's have somebody look up for strong. 1 John 2:14. 1 John 2:14. A couple of weeks ago, we covered this a little bit, but this is in the spiritual sense. Who's got that one?
I have it.
Okay, go ahead.
I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one.
How about that? See the definition for strong? We're talking in here about a spiritual growth. And when it comes to young men, that's not talking someone being in their 20s. The young man is talking about someone growing spiritually. It's the spiritual aspect. And any of us could be young men, those who have the Word of God. And the only way to get the Word of God to abide in you is to read it, meditate on it, and then obey the commands that are in it. Those will make you strong. And notice it also adds, and have overcome the wicked one. Let's take a look at, let's go ahead and take a look at Luke chapter 4. And it's verses 1 to 13. You guys have been through this quite a few times. I don't think we should take the time to read it, but in the first 13 verses of Luke 4, we have Christ, before he enters into his major ministry, he's tempted of the wicked one three times. And let's take a look at verse 3 and 4. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And how does Christ answer him? And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. BBF Ohio, right there.
Amen.
Every word of God. Now, where does this verse come from? It comes from Deuteronomy 8:3. Christ could have said anything, guys, and it would have been scripture. But for our admonition in Christ, he quotes a Bible verse out of Deuteronomy 8:3. And then let's take a look at verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And why? Because Christ owned all the kingdoms down here. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. Now notice the phrase, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I'm sorry I didn't write down the reference, but that's another reference in the Old Testament.
Deuteronomy 6:13?
Yeah. Huh?
Check Deuteronomy 6:13. My Bible has a little
thank you
reference underneath it.
Deuteronomy 6:13?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It says, it might,
well, I've got several King James Bibles, and they're all funny on how they put notes. And some of the places where it needs to have the notes, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing, and it should be there.
That's why I tell everybody, get the Bible and make your own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Normally, I've got two other scripture references here, but I don't have that one. And, of course, the last one here, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that's another, where's that one at? Anyone got that reference?
8:16.
What?
Looks like 8:16, Deuteronomy, or, sorry, 6:16.
Yeah. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa.
Well, if you notice, Satan here is quoting scripture. He's quoting scripture.
He
guys, don't ever think that you go into any church that they're not going to be quoting Satan. Okay? If you do not have an authorized King James Bible, then 20% of your scriptures is messed up. And when they speak those verses, they're speaking for Satan.
And that makes it all messed up.
That makes it all messed up. What killed the mouse? Was it the 2% poison or the 98% good hamburger? And it was the 98% good hamburger. Sorry. He didn't see the poison. And all these people, when I talk to them, they don't see the poison. And they want to be the God of their Bible.
Same thing with Eve. That's how she was tempted through Lucifer.
Yeah, all these Bibles across the country that is not King James, the pastors are teaching the people to be the God of their own Bible and to decide which Bible you like, which verse do you like.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, there's no spiritual growth in these guys. There are people I've known 20, 30 years, and they have never grown a single inch in that time frame. They're not in the book. There's no like spirit. There's one pastor I know. I don't think he's at Catoctin anymore, but he's probably somewhere else, but he could pray and I could sense the Lord. But other than that, there was nothing. There's nothing. I've run into Wesleyan pastors. Guys, nothing. No spirit, bear witness with the spirit. Guys, the one way you overcome the wicked one is through scripture, spending time in the book. And when Satan comes to you, you do the same thing. You quote scripture right back at him. Know how to fight the devil. And if you notice all three times, Satan causes you to doubt. If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. Now, unfortunately, I had one King James pastor that said the words if should be translated since. I irritated him so bad. Okay? It's not since. It says if. If God wanted the word since in there, he had to put since.
Yeah.
Satan is always causing you to doubt to follow the Lord. He doesn't want you to follow the Lord. He's using his power to pull you away from the Lord. How do you become strong in the Lord? The word of God abides in you.
That's
and
right.
When day Satan comes at you, you overcome him with the word that's inside you. That's the only way, guys. The only way. Also, just a couple of things for you. Christ was being tempted for how long? 40 days. Now.
That's why we celebrate Lent.
Oh, that's why.
Well, that's because he spent 40 days teaching after the resurrection. But that's it.
Oh, I don't even know.
Is that?
Yeah, you sure you know why she has?
I'm not going to be a good Catholic, so I
don't
know.
Is that why?
Isn't the thing though? I worked up for Lent.
Well, see, I celebrate Lent, and that's why I wash my clothes.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He spent 40 days teaching after his resurrection.
I'd say I didn't have coffee now, for Lent.
If you notice the scriptures we read, all that could have happened, guys, in just a couple hours or less. He was tempted how long? 40 days. He was tempted every single day. When you read the account in Matthew, both the temptations start the same, but it's reversed. And that means Satan goes ahead. If one way doesn't work, he tries another way. But all three temptations are identical, even though they may come at you differently. And he'll keep coming at you, and you just keep quoting the verses at him, and he's got to run away. Because we are in the light, and he's darkness. And this light will always chase away the darkness. Every single time. Whenever you turn the kitchen light on, all the cockroaches run and hide into the darkness.
John,
this is the light.
I don't know if you were born there, but in Hebrews 5, you have that as your... I don't want to jump ahead of you.
Okay, I want to go to 4.
Well, I'm talking about for the point you're making.
Yeah.
Hebrews 5, when it comes to strong, it's always, in the Bible, it's connected to God's Word.
Yes, strong means.
In Hebrews 5:12 says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
Correct.
For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age.
Yes.
Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Right. Yes. Excellent. Yeah. I probably thought about that, but I didn't put it in the notes. Because you can run everywhere with this about being strong. Okay?
That's the idea of the open Bible study.
Yes. You can add.
Yeah,
there's no way I can cover every base because we wouldn't even get our fried chicken today. We'd still be 6 o'clock and you guys are rhythming in the pulpit. Yes, Jenny.
Did anyone mention the armor of God yet?
What?
Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
You may be able to stand against the laws of the devil.
Yes. Be strong, and that's the armor. And we could talk about the armor, being strong. If you take a look at the armor, every piece of the armor is the word of God. Every single piece. Every piece of the armor is a picture of Christ. And there's an order that it goes in. And that's a great study by itself. You just can't say, well, I'll just go out today with the sword. No, you need the shield. You need the boots. You need the girdle. You need the helmet. You need the whole works.
Yeah.
Every bit. And, of course, you know, with the armor, there's no back armor. And that's because we don't retreat.
Amen.
We go forward. And there's also no armor for the knees. Why? because we go forward into battle on our knees. And that's something we always forget. I think one of the apostles, James, was called camel knees. Because he spent so much time in prayer on his knees. Now, as we learned last week or the last couple of weeks, you don't have to be on your knees all the time to pray. You can be in the car praying. Study the prayers when you read Ezra, Nehemiah, how they threw in little dinky prayers here and there. They were going about their business praying.
Little dinky prayers. I know it's, but yeah, Nehemiah was praying.
Right, it's in one sentence.
I know.
Yeah, it's not like Elijah who did 44 words.
It's not really important, it's just short.
Throws right on the wall.
Exactly. We could also talk about this on the Word of God. We could go to Matthew chapter 7, I think verses 24 to 27. And Christ says, when you hear my word, you're building on the rock. When you reject my word, when you hear my word and reject my word, you're working on sand. Okay, you're not going to be strong on the sand, guys. You're not going to be strong. I will tell you this, when Jill and I was in Tucson, Arizona, at the Suero National Park. Suero means another fancy name for cactus with arms. And it takes 75 years to grow an arm. Incredible. They can grow up to 4 stories high. Those things are pretty big. Stack another church building or two on top of you. That's how tall they can go. We have it recorded on film. But the mountains they had there, if you ever watch the old cowboy movies, you see them trying to run away, and they're trying to run up the hill, and their foot keeps slipping because the rocks are broken. That's exactly the way it is in Tucson, Suero National Park. You cannot get a good foothold going up because it's all broken rock. All right. If you go in northern California, we notice it's not broken rock. It's all solid. It's all held together. There's no way you can slip and slide on solid rock. But you're going to slip and slide on the stuff in Tucson there, just the way it is. Let's take a look now at, let's get back to 15. Let's see how we can, it's very old. I have to tell you this, in my own studies, I tried looking up the name of God, and everyone comes up with their own definitions that they like to have. But the one that I like, that's been a comfort for me down through the years, is the word God means strength. Strength. So I'll just mention this in Genesis 17:1, God is talking to Abraham, and he says, I am the Almighty God. Almighty, that's all powerful. And he says, walk before me. Notice he doesn't say in there, walk after me. So when Abraham is walking, he's seeing the face of God the whole time he's doing the walk. And guys, when we walk with the Lord, we should realize he's in front of us the whole time, and we should be seeing his face. We should be seeing his face. He already sees what's going to happen, and we need to keep focused on him. What happened to Peter? When he was walking to the Lord, he was fine. The moment he took his eyes off him, he sunk.
How do you see his face?
Huh?
How do you see his face? What do you mean by that?
Well, I will tell you this. How do you see his face? Compare scripture to scripture. All right? You'll find like in Psalm 94, he made our ears to hear the word of God. So God has ears. Look for the phrases where the psalmist is crying out saying, Lord, you heard my voice and you answered the prayer. So you know your voice is being heard by his ears. Study the word. His eyes are upon the righteous. That's a great study there. He's got a nose. He smells the sacrifices when Israel had the barbecues, you know, the offerings. He has smell. Guys, he has touch. You already know in heaven, when we see Christ, everything in heaven was made by God except for one thing. That was made by us. The scars in the hands and in the feet. That was made by us. All right.
Just real quick. So seeking his face, there's a on this. It has to do with strength also. First Chronicles 16, starting in verse 10 and 11, Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart that rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually.
Yes.
And then it goes on to talk about remembering his marvelous works.
Yes.
And his judgments of his mouth.
Amen.
Because we use that language and it's meaningless to most people. They don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
So you have to explain. What I'm going to explain to me is the Word is, Jesus is the Word.
Yes.
Jesus is the light. If you're walking and you're looking at his face, you're walking in the light of his Word.
Yes.
And I've seen a lot of nonsense from mystics, and it's just baloney. And it leads people totally astray, a lot of that stuff. And it was really a relief to me when someone explained that, that it's not talking about some mystical thing. It's talking about the Word of God as you
right.
walk in
right.
His Word,
yeah.
in the light of His Word, that is in a spiritual sense. You're
Amen.
Seeing.
And you become stronger.
And it strengthens you for the journey.
Oh, absolutely. Well, if you notice everything we've tried to share with you, the Word of God, the Word of God.
Yeah. That's right.
All right?
Yeah.
And when you're in the book, you'll see pictures all the way through. Left and right. Every time I go through Isaiah, the hand of the Lord is not shortened. The hand of the Lord is not shortened. He can reach out. Any problem you have, he can reach down. He can reach down. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah 50:45-11, where God says, concerning the works of my hands, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. Fascinating. What type of works does God's hands do? So I'm reading the Hebrews one day, and it says, God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, how? By his hand. It's like a parent holding onto the little kid and walking him across the street. Again, another picture there. There's so many other pictures like that. He's intimate and detailed. Check that out. But again, Genesis 17:1. I am the Almighty God, walk before me. Almighty, all-powerful.
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent. Let's take a look. Who's got Matthew 28:18? Again, another word dealing with strength.
I can do this one.
You got that one, Jenny?
Matthew 28:18.
Yep.
Are you ready? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
How about that? Hey, guys, did you get that? As I'm growing up as a Baptist in the early days, every single time they mention the Great Commission, they always start with verse 19 and 20. They always leave out verse 18. Now, what's wrong with this picture?
Who needs God's strength to go out?
Christ says all power. All power. All power is given unto me. Now, what did we just read in the temptations? Satan said, all power is given unto me, the kingdoms. Jesus Christ raises again from the dead. He says, I have all power. So there are two powers struggling on this planet right now. The power of Satan and the power of Christ. Well, let's find out what the power of Christ is, the strength. Again, another good Bible study on power. There's the power of the blood.
Amen.
Study the power of the blood. There's the power of the word. The power of the word. I think that's Hebrews 4:12. How about Romans 1:16? The power of the gospel. It has power. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross of what? Power. Power. How about look at Acts 1:8? The power of the Holy Spirit. You can have all, you can forget about eating all day long and have a great Bible study. Okay? It is fine. The power of the Lord. The power. All power is Him. Let's try to stay focused on Him and ask the Lord, show us your power and how we can pray and utilize that for your glory. I think Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about the word please. It's impossible to please God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when you get into the book, here's the book, here's the faith. And how do we please God? He talks to us out of this book, and he tells us what he wants us to do.
Amen.
We live by faith. We walk by faith. It's all by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 51. We, then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now notice again in Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith. It's almost a comparison right there. This one is weak in the faith, but it says here, we, then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And not to please ourselves. So, what are infirmities? Well, first of all, infirmity could be physical weakness. All right? And as I get older, I sense that physical weakness.
Amen.
All right? So, bear with me. The word bear means to lift up. It means to carry. Hopefully, I do not want to have the walker. Okay? I am exercising, guys. I'm doing what I can to stay afloat. I don't want to be that way, but if that happens, I'm going to need some help. I will need some help. There's also what you call mental weakness.
Amen.
All right? And guys, we all had mental weakness before we came to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, Amen. Did we not believe in evolution? And do we not still, deep inside, still believe some of the silly nonsense? Because it was ingrained in us in school. And so we have a hard time in our spirit going, well, wait a minute, dinosaurs here or... And men over here, and billions of years. I have to remind myself every day, time is only 7,000 years. That's all it is. And in Revelation, time shall be no more. Fascinating. Fascinating, guys. Get in the book. Get in the book.
It's one of the things is that as a young person, the hardest thing for the young person to realize is that they just haven't lived long enough, haven't experienced enough, haven't talked about things enough, haven't thought about things enough to know much of anything.
Correct.
And when I got saved, I've been doing these little 5-minute videos that get a pretty good number of views. And I'm going through Proverbs, just the 5 minutes of time, usually one or two verses. And I was saying, it just reminded me when I got saved, one of the best piece of advice was to read a proverb every day, and you'd go through the whole Proverbs once a month.
Yes.
And I was just amazed at the things that as I would read, I had never really thought through, I didn't think about.
Yeah.
And then I was confronted later with situations that if I had not read the book of Proverbs, I would not have been prepared.
Yes.
And it's just a shame that I've given that advice to many people through the years, and only a handful have taken that advice, and you can tell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can tell. It's
we're all simple-minded as youth.
Mm-hmm. The other word for weak is weak conscience. And Paul dealt with that with a lot of them back then. Because why were they weak conscience? Because they were brought up worse being false idols. False idols, guys, it'll get us, and the last verse, I think, out of 1 John 5, is stay away from idols. Stay away from idols. Also, scripturally, infirmity means grief of mind. Grief of mind. We are fortunate that we haven't gone through a whole lot of grief as a family, but I will tell you this, there are times when it does come, where everyone's sad because there's something bad that happened. It's also sorrow of heart. And I'm sure every one of us has gone through a time frame when we had sorrow of heart. That's like an infirmity. Oh, yeah. Let's take, who's got Matthew 8:14? Matthew 8:14.
I'll do it.
Okay. Through 17.
So Matthew 8:14 through 17?
Yep.
Okay. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
Yeah. That's a whole different dimension when you look at the infirmities. The scripture verse that they were referring to was Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. All right? And again, that deals with the Christ's death on the cross for us. There's one other thing that on weakness I wanted to share. Now, we're 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Who's got 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10? Okay.
And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Yeah. Again, another thing on weakness. Here's the thing that really struck me this time as I was studying this. Notice what Christ says in there. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. The strength of God is made perfect where? In weakness. A lot of us are fearful about being made weak. We don't want to be weak. We want to be strong. We want to appear like nothing bad's going on. And guys, God says that we're proud. We're proud when we do that. He says, I'll give you grace. You humble yourself, I'll give you grace. And in that weakness, I'll make it strong. I'll make it strong. I have to share this with you. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The word mourning there is the same concept as meditating. It's like taking a little kid and smacking their bottom. You want them to think about what they did, what was wrong. Blessed are they that mourn. Now, I grew up in a broken family. Totally broken. My mom left at age when I was 13. All right? She left the family. And so us three kids was with my dad. You don't know the sorrow of going through a broken family. You don't know the attack from other neighborhood kids and other parents and all the other things that go on. It's not good, guys. It was like a living hell. All right? But that was a mark that God allowed to be put on my soul. And why? Because blessed are they that mourn. Oftentimes our ministry will come out of something that was broken in the past, that we have a desire to want to repair in other people. All right? What did the Apostle Paul do before he got saved? Oh, he couldn't wait to get those Christians and put them in jail and have them killed, have them murdered. He was having a time of his life. And there's a few other things I suspect that's not in Scripture of what Paul did, but it's okay. He was terrible. But he thought he was doing it in God's name, for God's righteousness. And he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a changed heart. He changed completely. And what did he do for the rest of his life? He tried putting churches everywhere. He spent all his time destroying them, and now he's trying to build churches everywhere.
Amen.
God used his past mistakes, his past sin, to give him motivation for a job that he had for him. All right? He'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for me. So, I do have a decent family. Pretty decent family.
Halfway decent.
Halfway decent. Okay?
I'll take it.
But I've taught them. I've trained them. And it's all through the Word of God that I trained them. I didn't train them on anything else. The Word of God. All right? So therefore, out of the mourning comes ministry. Comes ministry. And out of the ministry comes magnification. We get to magnify. Look what the Lord has done. We didn't do it on our own, guys. Magnify the work that he can be glorified. Mourn, ministry, magnification. And that's where the testimonies come from. Look what the Lord has done. And he's done a gazillion things for us. And it doesn't mean we haven't had problems and struggles. It doesn't mean we haven't had weaknesses. I mean, I've told you before, we had a car blow up in Colorado halfway through our trip going to California. All right? We had a car blow up in Arizona. We had our car blow up in Kentucky.
Yep.
Trying to come back. All right? We've had we had one van that almost didn't make it to Nova Scotia. I had to speed going down the hills to get up to the top. All right? But through all the problems we've had, was it Tennessee? I don't know if it was probably close to Tennessee. We had the car spin around three times.
That was Kentucky.
Was that Kentucky?
Yeah.
So Kentucky was two times. And also in Ohio, who knows how many times here in Ohio. Okay, and that's just dealing with cars. And then Jill's health on a couple occasions. But the Lord has seen it through every struggle, everything. Why? Because we stayed with the Word of God and we built our lives on the Word of God. Yes, sir, I see that.
I thought of that one song that used to be sung back in the 80s or 90s. It was that El Shaddai. The most awesome work was done through the frailty of his son. You know, so
yes.
It's the point of the weakness.
I think there is a verse that says he was crucified in weakness. How about that? And who gets all the strength from that?
No.
We do. We gain the strength. If he hadn't died on the cross, guys, we would be most miserable today. We wouldn't even be talking about America becoming communist. It already would have been communist. Right down the line.
Yeah, that verse is 2 Corinthians 13:4. Though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God.
How about that?
We also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God for you.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Excellent. See, it just all ties together. This is why I say I didn't think we were going to get out of verse 1. All right, I got notes going all the way down to verse 7, but I'm looking at the clock on the wall, and I just got the peace symbol. Okay? So let's see what other notes I had on there. Okay. The word bear means to lift up, it means to carry. When we are strong, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Let's finish off with, let's see, who's got Galatians 6? Galatians chapter 6.
The whole chapter?
No, 1, 2, and 5.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For every man shall bear his own burden.
Yeah. How about that? There's twofold there. We were all given burdens. And the one set of burdens that we have to deal with ourselves and nobody else. We just pray and trust the Lord. But the other burden is we look around and we see other people with burdens. And if it's in our power to help them out, like the Good Samaritan, then we need to go out. Look at the infirmities that guy had. Sickness, the whole works. He had the whole ball of wax. And then the last verse I'll read, it's in Romans 8:2. Talk about the law of Christ, and then we'll finish right here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the strength, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. How about that? That's a good way to end.
Amen.
And this is a great book, guys. It's a great book. I love to have gotten from verse 2 down, but Pastor Miller will knock that off for us next week.
Amen.
Or well. If the rapture comes, I don't know what he's going to do, but
we can ask you.
We're all going up. Amen. Okay. Doug, if you'd like to close us out here, buddy.
Sure. Well, guys, thank you for this time that we're having. Thanks for John for doing that study. And I appreciate John. Appreciate his efforts there. And doing the tracks and doing the studies. And appreciate your honesty. We got to thank you for this time, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, I'm Leonard. See you in a bit. Go get some tea.